neighbor and say, he's risen. That's right. Amen. Listen, I want us to understand something on this blessed resurrection morning. You're up early. Look, everybody's like, yeah, I know I am. Right? We're up early. Why? So early, you say. Because this is at very early in the morning, it says in the Scripture, that the ladies went to the tomb, and we'll look at that in a minute. The resurrection is not just one focal point of Christianity. The resurrection is Christianity. Without the resurrection, we're all lost. But because Jesus is raised, we have hope beyond this life. Can anybody say amen? We have hope that most people don't have in a world that's looking for hope. We have hope. It is the centerpiece of the gospel, the resurrection of the Lord. And so as we're thinking about this morning, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen. Think about that today, and we can face these things, these uncertain days. Because of his resurrection, the Scripture says one day, those that believe in him will resurrect also. Be no more death, no sorrow. No more mourning, for the former things have passed away because of his resurrection. And so I want us to look, turn in your scriptures for a little bit. I know you can smell the bacon, right? And preach it, that's it. Mark 16, I want us to look at Mark 16. We'll be looking, Mark has this history, the redemptive history, it's going at a fast pace when we get to this point of the crucifixion. We know that Christ died on Friday, he was buried, but then Saturday that he lay in the grave, and then Sunday morning the resurrection. So it's happened quickly, and so Mark covers this quick. I love him. He's about immediacy. He's about simplicity. He's about getting to the point of the gospel. And so take your scriptures, if you would, whether it's electronically in your hand, might be a pew Bible there in front of you. Take it and turn to Mark chapter 16 and stand to your feet as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Mark chapter 16 and 1 through 8, the Word of God says this. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices and that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. And when the sun had risen, and they said among themselves, who will roll the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in long white robe sitting at the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he has said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, and they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray, dear Lord, that you'll touch our hearts with these testimonies of Easter. Thank you for everybody here. Thank you for the risen Lord. We ask these things in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I want us to think about this morning three testimonies of Easter. Three testimonies on this blessed resurrection morning of Easter. And the first I want us to see is the empty tomb. The empty tomb, the testimony of the empty tomb, which would be verses 1 through 5a. And the Scripture says this, now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll the stone for the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large, and entering the tomb. The Jews marked their days not by midnight, but by sundown to sundown. And so when the sun set, that marked the end of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was Friday evening at sundown to Saturday evening at sundown. That was the Jewish Sabbath. So at the end of this time, it was past, Mark says, past or over. And that was a huge statement when he says this. Mark says that the Sabbath was past. And listen, I want you to know there's some implications to that, theological significance. Why is that? They would never observe their Sabbath from this day forward as Christians. Say, what are you talking about? Just like the Passover was forever changed into the Lord's Supper, the Sabbath would be changed to the here we sit, April 21st, 2019, on the Lord's Day. This is the day that Christians worship. Why? Because Christ resurrected on this day. And so it would forever change. I want us to think about that. And so once the final Sabbath had passed, what happened? What's going on? What's happening when we hear this story? There's a group of women. Ladies, you can understand this. We know that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus asked for the body of Christ. We know that the Scripture says that they took the body down, that they anointed him, and they placed him in a tomb, buried him. But these women, you know what? They thought, you know, the guys can't do it good enough. We got to get together and do something. No. Listen, their love, they had a plan. They had a plan that they were going to go, that they wanted to make sure. Why did they do that? It was their way of showing Christ that they loved him. It was their last way of showing their love to Christ. And so they get together, see the women huddling together. Let's make this plan. As soon as the Sabbath is over, the next first day of the week, why didn't they do it during the Sabbath time? Because you couldn't do any kind of work. So they said, right early in the morning, we're going to get up and we're going to take care of this business. We're going to get together. We're going to take these perfumes, these anointing things. We're going to go to Jesus' grave because it says in the Scripture in John that the women had marked where the grave was, the tomb was, and they're going to go back so early on Sunday morning. So think about this. They're going to go back and take care and show this love to Christ. I want you to understand they're not going to encounter a risen Lord. They're going to anoint a dead body. Can everybody see that? They didn't understand the resurrection, even though Jesus had said it was going to happen and that he had predicted it to his disciples and all these others. He said it's going to happen. They were going to anoint a dead body. Can everybody see that? But they had this opportunity. I like John. We'll talk about John 20. You'll have it. All the Gospels cover this. John 20, it says that Mary Magdalene goes, she's kind of the head of the group, right? These Marys and all these other ladies. And so she goes before daylight. She goes first. She's making this plan, right? She's getting there and she's like, the tomb was open. And the first thing that she thinks is what? They've taken my Lord. They've taken his body. And so she, you know what she does? I want to put it in chronological order so you understand. She runs back to tell the disciples, John and Peter. She runs back to them. I'm going to tell them what's going on. The other ladies come that we see at this time. They're coming to the tomb, and they hadn't thought it out. How are they going to get into this tomb when a huge stone is rolled across it? They're just going out of allegiance. Do you understand? And on the way, they think, wait a minute. How are we going to move the stone? It's a great question, isn't it? It's a great question. They're kind of trailing behind, but here's the one. When they get to the tomb, they saw that the stone had already been rolled away. Stone had already been rolled away. Please understand this resurrection morning. That stone was not rolled away so Jesus could get out, okay? His glorified body could pass through walls. We'll see. He goes and he brings himself. He goes into the upper room with the disciples and he appears suddenly. He didn't need the stone to be rolled away. Why was the stone rolled away? So these ladies, and so that we could look in and see that the tomb was empty. The tomb is still empty, by the way. Some of you have been over Jerusalem. You have seen they marked the tomb where it's still empty, okay? Other graves of great men that have come and gone, even religious leaders, their tombs are full of dead men's bones and dust. Jesus is empty and always will be empty. Why? He resurrected. But the first thought was that somebody has stolen the body. That was their first thought. And so they were expecting that resurrection, the first testimony, and it's very conclusive, and it's very, in its simplicity, is what? The tomb is empty. The greatest testimony, one of the greatest testimonies of Easter is an empty tomb. Can anybody say amen? Second, the testimony of the angels, verses 5b through 6, because they look in, and when they look in, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting at the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You see Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they have laid him." So the ladies come early in the morning. Testimony, empty tomb, but then when they look in, angels are there. And what do they say? Just at the moment where the women were being, they were upset, they were terrified. In the morning gloom, in that twilight time, Matthew in his Gospel 28:5 says it was like lightning. These guys, can you imagine? There they are. And what is it that they're saying? He identifies himself as a messenger from heaven. Luke and John would indicate they were two angels, but Matthew and Mark says one because only one spoke. But because they spoke, I want you to see that it says that the ladies were terrified. Would that be an understatement, ladies, to you? If you go to anoint this body, you've already... I want you to think about the emotions, the up and down of all this morning. That they go, the tomb is empty, Mary Magdalene, she's just wiped out. She's praying, she's crying, she can't believe somebody's taken her risen Lord. She's run back to the disciples. The other ladies here, they encounter these angels, and the angels say what? He's not here. He's not here. And it says that they were terrified. That word alarm means terrified, actually, in the Greek language. He says, what does he say? You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. But he says, he is risen. So he identifies here, the angels are letting them know, especially in Luke 24, that they're in the right tomb. But they're looking for the wrong thing, are they not? They're not looking for the risen Savior. I like what he says in Luke 24. It says, I think it's Luke 24:5. He says, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? He's risen. And I like this. He says, come see the place where they laid him. Peter and John would later run. They'd get in a foot race. And you look at John. Mary Magdalene goes back, tells Peter and John. And it's talking. And then, there they are. Look. Heading down to the tomb, racing to see what's going on. Said John looked in and he understood what went on. Peter barrels his way in and he's looking. He's kind of scratching his head trying to figure it all out. Resurrection morning. Why do you seek the living among the dead? The testimonies of the angels, think about this, establishes an inseparable link between the historical Jesus and the resurrected Jesus. The announcement is literally, listen to this, the gospel or the good news. Where was the gospel first preached? By angels at the tomb. Do you know this will be the only time that angels will preach the gospel? Why? He gives it to you and I. He could have given it to the angels. But he didn't. He'll commission in Matthew 28, he'll commission his church, his disciples, his followers to take the gospel. But the first time it's preached is by angels at the empty tomb. He's not here. He is risen. That is the good news. What are you talking about, the good news? The good news that the world needs today is Jesus is risen. He came to this earth as God, the God-man, the only perfect man that's ever walked this earth, that he bore the sins, our sins. He was sinless in all ways, but he bore our sins on Calvary. And Friday, Good Friday, you say, what was so good? It was one of the most heinous times as far as the death and the cruelty of our Savior. But what was good about it? Listen, we received salvation. That's what was good about it. That on that cross, the wrath of God was poured out upon the Son. The wrath for our sin. And he died and was buried. But listen, that's not the end of the story. Like Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story happens this morning, on Sunday morning, what we celebrate. And that is the resurrection. And these angels, they preach this empty tomb. They preach at the empty tomb of the resurrected Lord. And so we have the testimony of the empty tomb, the testimony of the angels. But last, we have the testimony of the eyewitnesses. Listen to verses 7 and 8. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, and he as he said you would. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. They get the news, and what do? This third testimony is the eyewitness of the risen Lord himself, which the New Testament would really focus on. Because the apostles and many others had seen the risen Lord, they willfully suffer and they would die. The Pharisees would make up and concoct a lie that said that the disciples stole the body of Jesus. But listen, these guys would die martyr's death, not for a lie, which nobody would, but because of the truth that they had encountered the risen Lord. And they stood upon that truth. And so we see here that it's speaking on God's behalf. These angels instructed the women, look, go and tell his disciples. And I like, they point out Peter. Go tell Peter. Why Peter? Well, Peter had denied Christ. You remember Peter was the one that said, I'll never deny you, Lord, on Friday evening. He said, even if they all run away, I'll stand with you. And the Lord said, listen, Peter, before the cock crows three times, you'll deny me. You'll deny me this evening. And he denies him in that courtyard. And he said he went out and wept bitterly. And so we see here that the Lord had Peter in mind. Peter would be the leader of this group. He said, go tell the disciples and Peter, you'll see me. You'll see me. I'm going before you into Galilee. And when he's talking about this Galilee, this wouldn't be the only time that eyewitnesses would see him, but it'd be the time that the most 500 disciples would be gathered there when they saw him in Galilee on that mount where he gives us the Great Commission. In response, what did it say that the ladies went? They went out quickly and they fled from the tomb and they trembled and were amazed. The words used here stated that they were shaken. Shaken. Why? Because they had great fear. They had encountered. Heaven had touched earth again. Happened at the incarnation, at the birth of Jesus Christ, and it happens at the death of Jesus Christ because he came as a babe in a manger. He would grow into a man that would give his life on the cross and would die but would resurrect again. That today, April 21st, 2019, we could have hope beyond this life. We could have a relationship with him. We can find purpose and meaning in a world that has none. All struck they go and they don't say anything to anybody else. Why? Because the angel said, go tell the disciples. They leave out there on a mission to go and let them know. After the women left, this is when Peter and John, because of Mary Magdalene, she's went and told them. And so you have this all going on. Peter and John arrives, and then after they arrive, sometimes later, Mary Magdalene comes, and she's still weeping over her Lord. And then that's when God shows himself to her first. Says, hey, she thought he was a gardener, and she's crying so much. She says, why do you cry? He asked her, so why do you cry? They've taken my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him. And that's when he says, Mary calls out her name, and she recognizes him for who he is, her risen Lord and Savior. What an encounter that first morning that she had with her risen Lord. What an encounter that he would go on. He had promised to meet his disciples, but not only Mary Magdalene, but Matthew tells us that the other ladies that come had got to experience the resurrected Lord. We know that the disciples, they'd be 10 of them right in a room. Thomas wasn't with them, and the Lord appears to them. And old Thomas says, hey, when they come back, said, we've seen the risen Lord. I won't believe it till I touch his hands, touch his side. You know what? Jesus shows up, 10 days later. So here you go, Thomas, to all 11 of them. Two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus comes and he's walking out. Look, can you see them? What's happened? What's going on? Are you so slow that you don't know that Jesus, this great man that we thought was the Christ, he's died, they killed him? Look, walking along. And then he takes the scripture and he points all these things out to them. And he acts like he's going to go on, and they're stopping for the night. And they said, come in, eat with us. And said, when he broke the bread, he revealed himself to them. You know what they did? They got up and run all the way back to Jerusalem. Told the disciples, he's risen! He's risen! And then we know that there in Matthew 28, when the 500 disciples on the mountain where he commissioned his apostles to take the Gospels to the end of the earth and make disciples, Jesus appears, his eyewitness and testimony at his ascension. I want you to know something this morning. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. We serve a risen Savior, as we sang. We serve a risen Savior, and he's coming back again. And you know what? I love Mark's gospel is about declaring Christ to be the Son of God. And the account of this resurrection does just that. And so I want you to think about this morning as we look at our world, as we look at the things around us. It can be very discouraging, can it not? But I want you to know I have hope this morning. I don't get depressed. I have hope beyond this world and the things that go on. We have Jesus as our Savior. We have the resurrected Lord that brings hope to a lost world. How does it get there? I'm looking at a room full of how it gets there. We take it as His children, as His people. We go out and we live the light and we live the salt to a lost world. There's hope. Why? Because Christ is resurrected. Because He is risen, all of us that know Him as personal Savior will rise one day. You see, we have the testimony of the empty tomb, the testimony of the angels, the testimony of the eyewitnesses. Let me tell you something this morning, another testimony. February 28, 1990, in an old church at Walker Road Baptist Church in Morganton, North Carolina, because somebody cared enough about me to invite me to come to church. A friend that kept after me. Come on, keep going. I don't want to go to church. It's full of hypocrites. It's full of people I party with. Why do I want to go to church and act better? That was my answer. He said, just come and hear. This man's coming. That Wednesday night, by the way, praise God for Wednesday night services. I walked in and it was an old preacher from Sherrall, South Carolina, Bill Traywood, limp. Said God clipped his wings when he's young. Got up and he opened the scripture and looked. I'm there wondering what in the world. You know what he talked about? How we didn't have peace with God. That your whole life you'll be searching. And listen, he was nailing. He was sitting in my wheelhouse, okay? Why is that, Dave? Because I did not have peace. I tried at all the things of the world. I did not grow up a preacher in a preacher. I wasn't a preacher's kid, grew up in a preacher's home. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't have any of those things. Praise God for you that do. All I knew was just what I had heard and I had experienced, and I was experiencing all the things the world had to offer. And you know what? I was having a lot of fun, but I had no peace. I'd lay down at night and think, is this all life is about? Is this all that this world is paying bills and just having parties and coming home saying, I ain't going to do that again, and the next weekend doing it again? Is that all life is about when I turn to a bottle or a pill to try to get me through? Is it? I did not have peace. And he spoke about it. He said, you'll never have peace until you receive the gospel. Because I was an enemy against God. Didn't realize that. Oh, I didn't hate God. But the scripture says when we don't have a relationship with God through Christ, that we're enemies against Him. And he said, until that's reconciled, you'll never have peace. I'll never forget it. When the altar call came, it was like you sprung me out of Jack in the Box. Look, up I came. And I fell on my knees on an altar and I said, Lord, I'm so tired of living this way. I'm so tired. I cannot. I don't have peace. I'm so tired. And I want to tell you, that moment that I got up, I became a different man. And listen, I've let Jesus down many times, but He's never let me down. Not one. Not one. And He says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Listen, young people, they're going to feed you a bunch of garbage and bull as you go into your schools, and they're going to say you're a fool for thinking that way. You're a fool for not accepting it. Because the truth is, listen, it's the only thing. Listen to your pastor. He's tried it all. He's been down that road. Do not go down those roads. They're empty and they're dead-end roads. It'll lead you to the point that you'll think about taking your own life. That's what the devil wants, by the way. Because you don't find any satisfaction. But in Christ, in the risen Lord, in the testimony, I know He lives because He changed my heart as well. The testimony of what Christ has done in our life. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is with me, no matter what men may say. Why? What does the testimony of the Lord say in your life this morning? What does He say in your life? Do you know that you have Christ as your personal Savior? Is He there within you? Has He made a change and a difference in your life? Because when He comes in, He changes us. And we don't live. Oh, we might make mistakes and we might do things, but we don't live contrary to this. Why? This is His love letter. This is His standard that He gives us. And when we become His child, we live by this is our standard. And when we live against this, if we can live against this and not be convicted of it, something's wrong. Something is wrong, very wrong. And so, how is your life today? Does it line up with this? Does it have a desire to follow God's Word? Or do we just mouth off, I'm a Christian, and it never changed us? I would not want to bank my eternity on a salvation that did not make a difference here in this old temporal world. How will it ever get me to a place called eternity in heaven with the Savior forever? How? Bow your heads before the Lord right now, please. We're going to go out in just a minute. Pray, gather out in the parking lot and pray. But just for a moment, I want you to search your heart. Why is that? Well, we've seen through the Scripture that the Lord is risen. Do you have a personal relationship with Christ? Is Christ in your heart? Do you know without a doubt if He would require your life that you would be ready to go? If not, I want you to do this simple thing. Holy Spirit of God speaks to you and He reveals that only the Holy Spirit can do that. This is what you do. You just say, Lord, on this resurrection morning, I realize that I am not saved. I have never received Christ as my Savior. And I'm asking Him to come into my heart right now. Lord, I'm repenting for my sin and I'm turning to You and I'm asking to receive You as my personal Savior. And the Scripture says, all that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You do that, you know what? You're going to let somebody know. You're going to tell somebody today, your mom and dad, somebody that's here. And you're going to live differently. Why? Because the Scripture says that those that are in Christ are new creations. All things old have passed away. Behold, all things are new. Lord, I pray for the person, everybody that's here. And I ask You, Lord, maybe somebody's struggling as I did. Maybe somebody turning to things that's not going to ever bring them satisfaction. Lord, addiction is a real thing. And I can testify. And it takes the Lord Jesus to break that. But it also takes us being honest with ourselves before the Lord Jesus. And so I pray for somebody today that maybe don't know You as personal Savior. Maybe somebody that's struggling with an addiction. Maybe somebody that's turning to the other things besides Christ. And I ask You to touch them. For Your glory, in Christ's name, amen and amen. Let's go all meet out in the parking lot and finish in a time of prayer.